Good afternoon. Welcome to the National Press Club. My name is Clayton Boyce. I'm president of the National Press Club and news editor of Knight Ridder Tribune News Service. I'd like to welcome club members and their guests in the audience today, as well as those of you who are watching on C-SPAN or listening to this program on National Public Radio or the Global Internet Computer Network. Before introducing our head table, I'd like to remind our members of upcoming speakers. On Wednesday, September 15th, Hank Aaron will discuss the grand old game. On Thursday, September 16th, Senator Paul Simon will discuss his legislation to curb violence on television. On Tuesday, September 21st, Attorney Elmer Johnson, an American business expert, will speak. Other upcoming luncheon speakers include Ms. Manners, otherwise known as Judith Martin, Speaker of the House Tom Foley, Secretary of Defense Les Aspin, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff General Colin Powell, and Chairman of the House Energy and Commerce Committee John Dingell. I'd like to remind you that audio and videotapes of Press Club luncheons are available through the National Press Club Library or by calling 1-800-952-TAPE. If you have any questions for our speaker, please write them on the cards provided at your table and pass them up to me. I'll ask as many as time permits. I'd now like to introduce our head table guests and ask them to stand briefly when their names are called. From your right, Osiris Fuad Makar, Al Aram newspaper of Egypt. Akira Saito, the Yomiuri Shimbun. Vinita Anand, Washington correspondent for Investors Business Daily. Hugh Seide of Time Magazine. Bjorn Hansen, Washington bureau chief, Norwegian Broadcasting Company. Peggy Whedon, former producer of ABC TV's Issues and Answers, and This Week with David Brinkley. Yasser Abed Rabo, member of the Executive Committee of the Palestine Liberation Organization. Reginald Stewart, the taskmaster here, is assistant news editor of Knight Ridder Newspapers and chairman of the National Press Club Speakers Committee. Dr. Hanan Hashraoui, spokesperson for the Palestinian delegation to the Middle East peace talks. Andrew Mosier, assistant foreign editor, The Washington Post. Elizabeth Stewart, NBC News. Abdul Salam Massawa, president of the Foreign Correspondents Association and editor of the Jerusalem Press. Susan Bennett of Knight Ridder Newspapers. Mario Diedrichs of Stern Magazine of Germany. I'd also like to thank staff members Melissa Bender, Sherry Burton, and Melanie Abdo-Dermont for organizing today's luncheon, and Vice President Gil Klein for his assistance. 6 months ago, Israeli Foreign Minister Shimon Peres stood before a National Press Club audience and spoke of his hopes for an end to the decades of violence, bloodshed, and hate between Israelis and Palestinians. Yesterday, the world witnessed an important step toward the peace that millions of people have hoped for. Two warriors, two longtime enemies, Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin and Yasser Arafat, chairman of the Palestine Liberation Organization, fighters for their causes for decades, met on the White House lawn for a handshake for peace that could change the course of history. For 64-year-old Mr. Arafat, our guest today, this was indeed a momentous occasion, perhaps the end of a long chapter that has consumed him and captivated much of the world. Mr. Arafat is a man who has been obsessed for most of his life with one cause, restoration of Palestinian self-rule and an end to Israeli occupation of Arab territories in the Middle East. This cause has led the former businessman to sacrifice many of the pleasures of life as he has led an oft-times violent PLO campaign for the Palestinian cause and literally lived life on the run. Depending on your source, he has survived approximately 50 assassination attempts. His links to terrorism prompted the United States in 1974 to bar him from entry into this country. Since that time, he has loomed as a larger-than-life figure, almost mythical in the American mind, as the press and politicians have characterized him as hero, villain, murderer, healer, provocateur, and hard bargainer. His trademark, kafia, the checkered cloth he dons to symbolize the shape of Palestine, and his brandishing of his trusty Smith & Wesson have added to the legend and the lore. Today we present the real thing, an opportunity to hear the message from the PLO messenger, unfiltered. I should note at this point that an invitation was extended to Prime Minister Rabin, whose office declined, citing time and schedule restraints. We present Chairman Arafat in hopes of learning more about the peace envisioned by the new partnership between two historic foes, Palestinians and Israelis. Ladies and gentlemen, Chairman Yasser Arafat.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Hanan Ashrawi was insisting for me to have a long speech with his with her academic spirit, but in spite of my very poor language, I insist not to read this speech. We want to speak from heart to heart. Far away of protocol and this official statements, we are here not to make something official, but to make something concrete on the ground. Peace is more precious than all the articles. Excuse me, I am sorry to say it. But I have to apologize that not to read this statement, which Dr. Ashrawi was insisting for me to read it. but you see, no doubt it is a long, long time. Long time. Long march with all its pains and difficulties. We have the right to dream. And from the beginning, we were dreaming to achieve peace in the land of peace, in the Terra Santa. And it wasn't easy to implement on the ground what we were dreaming in the past. We had many occasions which had been passed, but the circumstances were more than our capabilities. So it passed, sometimes from our side, sometimes from the other side. But at the end, as I have used to say many times, we want the peace of the braves. The peace of the braves and it was a challenge for us and for the Israelis. Can we do it or not? Yesterday, it was a historical moment, not for myself, but for my people and for the Israeli people. At last, we did it. We had done it. in spite of all the challenges, in spite of all the difficulties, in spite of all the pains, in spite of all the sacrifices which we had paid, till arriving to this moment, we had paid a lot of sacrifices, our casualties, our martyrs, our freedom fighters who suffered a lot. But maybe some of you don't know what the meaning to be a refugee. To be a refugee as myself, still far away of my country, and as others, homeless, stateless, even without an identity card. I will tell you a story. When Dr. Sayer died, he was representing Kuwait in the United Nations. He was a Palestinian. But we were searching where to bury him. And believe me, I stayed more than 1 week searching where to bury him, till I have the opportunity to contact one of the churches in Beirut. And where in Beirut, during these very, very difficult days of Beirut, in the hotlines, and we buried him in this church. Can you imagine? This is a Palestinian tragedy. From the first day till the graves. But this is our destiny. And no one can escape from his destiny. And we were insisting to carry on, in spite of what we are suffering and what our people were suffering, to achieve real and just peace. Because there is no alternative. You don't know what the meaning of that. Because the other alternatives means complete confusion. Complete confusion in our area and Balkanization. We have to put it in our mind. This is not a joke what I am saying. This is the realities and facts. In any case, I don't want to take more of your time, but I want to give you the time to ask me, and I will do my best with my poor language and with the help of my my sister, Hanan Ashrawi, to help me in translating. And welcome, and I am ready for all your questions. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You said the other day that the Palestinian flag will fly over Jerusalem. What did you mean by that statement?
We want to implement 242 and 338 with all its aspects according to this agreement. Our East Jerusalem, our Arab Jerusalem, has been occupied since 67. And 242 and 338, to implement it with all its aspects, means withdrawal from all Palestinian and Arab occupied territories since 67, including East Jerusalem. Clear and obvious.
Prime Minister Rabin's reply was, he can forget it. What does this mean for the future of your peace talks?
Oh, I have to respect what he is saying. And I hope that he has to respect what I'm saying. Simple and clear. We had agreed upon that the final status of Jerusalem to be discussed on the final status of the negotiations, not exceeding the beginning of the third year. From now, from yesterday. Look, we know there is a problem. And we are not going to put our heads in the sand, inside the sand. No, we have to face all the problems, including the red lines. If Jerusalem is an Israeli red line, Jerusalem also is a Palestinian red line, Arab red line, Christian red line, and Muslim red line. But if there is a will, there is a way. And we can find, through negotiations and through the goodwill missions, the accurate solution for all our troubles and for all our political and moral problems, including and religious problems, including and in the top, Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the land of peace for Jews, for Christians, for Muslims. And it is what we are believing.
Is what you're describing a possible internationalization of Jerusalem?
Ask Rabin if he will accept this internalization for Jerusalem or not. From my point of view, it is on the table, on the final discussion, and we have to find this solution. If there is a will, there is a way.
When do you plan to visit Jerusalem?
Very soon. some months ago, I invited some of you to come with me to the Palestinian territories. When I addressed this invitation to some of my friends and some of your journalists and writers, they were completely astonished. Even when I met, I was discussing this matter with Mr. Kuzereyev in Vienna during the International Human Rights Conference. He said, but the other side is not accepting Jericho, not accepting Gaza. I said, no, I am sure that they will accept because they want peace and I want peace. And we find the compromise. And here, Gaza Strip and Jericho area will be able for us to establish our national authority according to our PNC, Palestinian National Congress, resolution in 74 in Cairo, to establish our national authority in any land from which the Israeli will withdraw. And now, after 19 years, we had it, and in the agreement, and it is the first step to implement a final solution on a piece of our occupied territories, and the rest of our occupied territories will have the Palestinian interim self-government authority. interim self-government authority. And this will be all of it under one body. And within the next 9 months, we'll be able to elect our council there in the occupied territories, and we will arrange all ourselves concerning that. And definite, we are looking to establish our independent Palestinian state. But we can't forget also our PNC, Palestinian National Council, Congress, sorry, which referred to the special relation between Palestine and Jordan. For this, we will establish directly after that a confederal relation between Jordan and Palestine, confederation, according to the free choice of the two peoples. And I have the chance some days ago to have a very fruitful, positive talks with His Majesty. And in this moment, I have to thank him to what he had mentioned supporting the agreement. And we have now joint committees who had started their jobs and their missions. And we have to follow up very soon the next steps of this joint coordination.
President Clinton and others have asked you to speak out against continuing attacks in the occupied territories. Why don't you clearly call on Hamas and other Palestinians to stop their attacks on the Israelis?
I had done it, and this I have signed it. Not only I have done it, I have signed it. It is part of the agreement. But how we have to do it? Through dictatorships? Open fire? Definitely not. We have to contain it through our democracy, which we are very proud of it. During our revolution, the democracy of the in the jungle of guns, and it wasn't easy. And we are insisting to continue and establish our institutions, democratic institutions, in our Palestinian land. And through this democracy, and more democracy, and more democracy, we will be able to contain all these cases and events. But I hope to ask the gentleman who wrote it, to ask Rabin to make it more faster, the implementation of what we had agreed upon yesterday. It is not enough to be on the papers. We have to implement it on the ground. Withdrawal to enable us to establish our national authority in Jericho and Gaza, and the Palestinian interim self-government authority with all its spheres in the rest of our Palestinian land. The accurate implementation of this agreement will diffuse the causes of what both of us are suffering, violence. Not to forget that both of us are facing violence. How many Palestinians had been killed, wounded, in jail, in prison? I don't want to return back to the old stories. We are now opening a new page with open hearts. Let us speak for the future, not for the past.
You're not the head of any state or any country, Mr. Chairman. What is your mandate? How can you determine how much support you have among Palestinians throughout the world?
If you will give me the chance to make a referendum, you will have the answer. But I think you had followed yesterday and today the whole demonstration everywhere in our occupied territories and among our communities everywhere, from Chile to Sydney, and in between, including here in front of my residence. So we are going to make the election. And this is fair enough to give you what you are asking. And not to forget, for your information, I have been elected as a chairman of PLO and as a president of State of Palestine in our PNC. Our PNC is formed from four sections, one representing our communities all abroad, everywhere, and these representatives had been elected also. So this part is elected part. The second, representing syndicates, unions, for doctors, engineers, laborers, students, women, lawyers, farmers, and they also, this sector is elected sector. And one for our national figures in all branches. And those also representing this sect. And like me, and like Yasser Abdurrabbu, and like Yasser Amir, and like Yasser Amir and Jawid are independent. Like me, and also Dr. Nabil is independent. But like me and Yasser Abdurrabbu, he is representing the Democratic Front, and he had been elected in his Democratic Front, as I have been elected in the Fatah movement also. But we are trying to have this body to represent the maximum we can get through democracy. And we have it. And you don't know what the meaning of democracy. More sugars, more sugar in the coffee. More sugar in the coffee. Believe me, more sugar in the coffee. We are like the Israelis exactly. More coffee, more sugar in the coffee, in their coffee also. And we have the same, more sugar in our coffee. Many points of view, and anyone, he has the right to say what he wants to say. to criticize Yasser Arafat and to oppose him and to oppose the executive committee. And but at the end, according to our constitution, the majority respect the point of view of the minority, and the minority is following the point of view and the decisions of the majority.
Now that you have signed the peace treaty with Israel, who do you now consider your foe?
You. He is squeezing. Do you know why? He is squeezing me too much with his questions. First of all, first of all, my enemy is the enemy of peace, and I'm sure that you are with peace. You are with peace. And we have to continue in this line with all our efforts. As I have mentioned, more responsibilities, more efforts is needed.
When will the U.S. recognize the PLO?
When? Actually, yesterday I was in the White House. It's not a joke. It's not a joke. I have a short, believe me, it wasn't a joke. You see, and I have His Excellency the President give me the chance for a short, but fruitful and positive and warm meeting with him. And later on, we have a meeting with His Excellency Mr. Christopher. And today, in the Congress, in the Senate, and in the Congress, in the Houses, and I think it is enough. we are looking more to strengthen more and more this relation between the American people and the Palestinian people. And we are depending on you to facilitate this mission.
When you met with congressional leaders today, did you get any promise to support the new autonomy economically and politically?
You were there in TV in the White House, and you heard His Excellency President Clinton. What he had mentioned was clear and obvious, that he will support completely this peace process, including the new baby, the Palestinian identity, the Palestinian national authority, which will lead to the independent state, which will lead to the Federation, Jordanian Palestinian Federation. Confederation, sorry, confederation. Yasser will. This morning, I have some promises that they will do their best. We hope. We are in need of this help. Our infrastructure has been completely destroyed. Completely destroyed. We are beginning from zero, below zero, actually. I don't know if some of you have the opportunity to visit Gaza Strip. There is a real starvation in Gaza Strip. More than 1 million living in starvation. Imagine. And this is a tragedy, a rare tragedy. The very bad economical situation in the West Bank. Imagine more than between 54 and 56 employed, unemployed. Unemployed. Percent. Unemployed. Imagine what tragedy we are facing. Without your help, without the help of the American administration, I know the Senate will not accept to give me directly money because of some difficulties in the Congress. I know that. But at least we are in need of loan guarantees. To build on our land, not on the other land.
What are your priorities for the economic development of Palestine, and what will be its economic base?
Similar to what is here.
Lobbying?
Similar to what is here. Are you against it? Definitely not. Similar to what is going here. And we are in need to start directly for the, not before the housing, feeding our people, especially who is living under in this starvation. Feeding. Yes, feeding. It is not a joke, ladies and gentlemen. It is a real tragedy. First of all, feeding our people. Then, continue the first is the educational sphere. We, the Palestinians, are proud that we have the highest percent of education in the area. Even we had bypassed the Israelis from Gaffetz institution. There is a report last year which mentioned that among every 1,000 Israeli students, there are 14 postgraduates. And among every 1,000 Palestinian students, there are 18 postgraduates. Imagine it. It's not a joke. And we are proud. For this, feeding, eating, then educating. Education, very important, because it is our career, which we are very proud of it, and which will help us, because very important, the challenge which we are facing in the future. What kind of states, what kind of land we will have through our cadres in all branches, we will build something we will be very proud of it. And you will be invited to see it by yourself.
Chairman Arafat, the Tehran government has expressed a very hostile position against the peace accord, and they have promised to organize the Islamic fundamentalists to undermine the process. What is your reaction to that?
Slogans? Well, what we have achieved from slogans? Some of them are my friends. I met one of them I met Hashim Rafsanjani once in Jakarta 2 years ago during the non-aligned Kansas movement. just directly after Madrid conference. He said, I am against Madrid. I told him, have you another alternative? He kept silent. Give me another alternative. Confusion? We are not ready to import any confusion from any country.
How will you deal now with Iraq and Libya?
As you know, I have a good relation with all the Arab leaders. And I have relations, we have at PLO as Palestinians. Our diaspora is living all over the Arab area. And we can't forget the Arab support to our people and to our cause, including this relation between me and the Iraqi people and the Iraqi leadership, and also the Libyan people and the Libyan leadership. Some of them are criticizing me. Why not? I am not asking 100%. This is clear and obvious, George. Yes? But we will continue contacting all the Arab countries and the Arab leaders to describe for them what had been done and to ask for their help. All of them. It is a new era. We are making peace with the old enemies, with the Israelis. We have to make peace with the others, among ourselves. Enough is enough. The splits, the scars, and the Arab unity has to disappear and in the new era. We are in need of it. So that the new order will not be on our account, but to participate in building the new order.
Do you now regret having supported Saddam Hussein in the Iraqi war against Kuwait? And if not, why not?
First of all, it's not accurate what has been mentioned, because I didn't support Saddam Hussein in occupying Kuwait. And in the beginning of the crisis, our aim is to solve this question within the Arab family, as we have solved many other difficult problems. And you have to remember our initiative, which had been declared in the last of August 90, in which we mentioned it clearly and obviously in first item, withdrawal of the Iraqi air forces from Kuwait. And we were looking to have it peacefully, not through war. This were our targets. And in the future, the history will judge. No doubt, the Gulf War was very expensive one. It is from your American sources that the Arab losses in this Gulf War, more than $687 billion. $1 billion. Can you imagine it? Can you imagine it? $687 billion. It is not my figures. This is American figures. And We hope that we will be able to overjump the scars and the splits among the Arab countries for the sake of the new dawn in our area, with strong unity, so that we, the Arabs, can participate in building and participating in the new order.
Do you expect that the Gulf states will be the major source of economic aid?
I hope so. I hope so. And I send many appeals to them. I hope so. But not to forget, it is not only an Arab responsibility. It is an international responsibility. Peace is not a Palestinian need only. It is an Israeli need. It is European need. It is American need. It is international need. Middle East is not only a spot on the map. No, it is a strategic area on the map. And the biggest reserved amount of oil in our area. Many international interests there in our area. For this, we are in need of stability. All of us is need for stability, for these interests.
It was reported that the Saudi ambassador, Prince Bandar, visited you privately this weekend. Is that true, and can we soon anticipate an announcement of change in Saudi-Palestinian relations?
First of all, he is an old friend of mine. And you know, I had a very strong relation with all the Saudi officials in the top, His Majesty King Fahd. And I informed him from the beginning of this track, our efforts to achieve peace. And as I have been informed, not only from Prince Bandar, but recently I was in Oman and I have a meeting, a very important discussion with Sultan Qaboos, and he informed me that it is King Fahd who were behind this very positive statement which had been declared on ministerial level for the Gulf ministers. And I have to thank him.
We have mainly heard about conflicts between Israelis and Palestinians. Can you comment on areas you agree upon?
I invite you to participate with us in implementing what had been agreed upon. We have many to discuss and to participate. The river, Jordan River, we have to find a solution. And how much? This is the what's so called التفاقيات الأنهار. The river agreements. It's known, it is international agreements. And we have to follow up how to deal with Jordan River. And the situation of the water in Gaza Strip, it is a problem, real problem. The sweet water became brackish water. And we have to find very soon a quick solution. We have in Gaza the highest percent of failure kidney failure. highest percent of kidney failures because of this brackish water. And many other issues we have to coordinate together till we have to settle this agreement and in the future.
Could you talk briefly about how the secret talks began and at what time in the talks did you realize that they were going to succeed?
Actually, it's not only one branch, as you know, many branches. When we, when our delegation faced this impasse here, around the table, we began to search for another breakthrough, another channel. Here in Washington, there was an attempt for one of these channels, but it had been unmasked. I'm sorry, the Israeli mass media, as soon as they discover one of these channels, they destroy it. I'm sorry to say. And another channel, as you remember, the meeting between Shalomit Alomi and Dr. Hanan and Brother Mahmoud Darwish. And this had been unmasked and stopped. The meeting between my brother Faisal Husseini and Shimon Peretz inside our occupied territories. Also, when it had been discovered or unmasked, it began big stories about it. Amiraf, if you remember, from the Likud, he had been dismissed from the Central Committee because he opened talks with Dr. Sari Nseba. You remember? You remember, Nabil? In Holland, we open another channels in the same people, but it didn't continue, so we cut it, or they cut it. It is not me who cut it; they cut it, because I was searching for mediation channel. And if you remember, our delegation here was insisting for American participation to facilitate the whole situation and to find a breakthrough in the impasse, which we had arrived. Till finally, we have this this channel. And for your information, Mr. Holtz, the foreign minister, I had a good relation with him since he used to come to Beirut because their forces is participating in the United Nations forces in south of Lebanon. You remember? They are till now participating in the south, in the United Nations UNIFIL in south Lebanon. So during that period, I have this relation with him. So when he start mediating, I feel that I can trust him. And he continued, and he worked hard. And for your information, it wasn't far away from our friends, here and outside. And it's enough.
Have you asked the United States for security guarantees for Gaza and Jericho?
We are in need of their help to build our cadres in the police, in the security forces. We are in need of it. No doubt we are in need of it. And in the agreement, there is paragraphs and items concerning this item, how to build our security forces. We had already started building our security forces and policemen through the help which we had got from our brothers in Jordan and our brothers in Egypt. And before my coming here, they had already started.
The Jewish people have not felt that they could trust you to keep your word. Why is this changed? And why should they trust you now?
Many didn't trust Jesus Christ in the beginning.
If you take control of the old city of Jerusalem, will Jews be allowed to remain there?
What?
If you take control of the old city of Jerusalem, will Jews be allowed to remain there?
Definite. And it was warm reception. And all facilities. We have to believe. You are forgetting completely that we had lived together centuries and centuries and centuries. They had participated on all our culture, our civilization, everywhere. Not to forget that we never mentioned the Jews. We used to say to call them our cousins. Abraham, you have to remember Abraham. Abraham had two sons, Isaac and Ismail. So we are cousins. I am from Ismail.
Before asking the final question, I'd like to present you with a certificate of appreciation from the National Press Club for speaking here.
Oh, thank you.
The traditional press club mug.
Oh, thank you.
And since you met with so many presidents yesterday, a copy of Eye on Washington, The Presidents Who Have Known Me by George Thames, of the New York Times, who won the National Press Club's Fourth Estate Award last year. And
thank you.
The final question is, if peace is now at hand, are you going to trade in your uniform for civilian clothes?
I am not a leather. Leather. يعني حرباية. Leather.
Chameleon.
I am not chameleon. Did you ask General Powell to change his clothes? Not to forget, I'm the commander in chief of our army, and I am proud to have this dress.